Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Our sermon centers around the angelic announcement to the shepherds. For unto you this day, born in the city of David, a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. That this day that as we call it in our culture, Christmas, to commemorate and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, this day when he was born a Savior. A Savior has been born, and that Savior that has been born is none other than God the Son, fully God and fully man, Jesus Christ the Lord. That is the good news of the gospel, is that God is with us. God has become man, that God comes to this earth to save sinners. That is why Jesus was born. He's a Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. And so the one who came, Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the one that saves his people from their sins. He is very God, a very God, truly man, fully God, fully man, coming to stand in our place as a substitute and as a representative and as fully God, the one who could sacrifice himself as of infinite value and take on the infinite punishment our sins deserve. It is startling to realize that Jesus Christ, this second person of the Trinity, is truly God and became man, born of a virgin, born to be a Savior, born to be the Christ, born to be the Lord. That is this day who was born unto us, a Savior, a Christ, a Lord. And so in verse 11, you see that the Gospel of Luke records for us, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. Born this day. That word, that phrase in the original language is actually front-loaded in what we call the emphatic position. What Luke is doing for us here is emphasizing, underscoring, and highlighting the humanity of Jesus Christ, that God has become flesh, God has become man, God is with us, and this God, the one true God, became flesh. He came as a baby. He took on the frailties of humanity, born of a virgin, did not circumvent the means to become a man. So Luke's gospel emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ and that he has solidarity with his people. Yes, Jesus is God becoming man, but this man is the one that stands in solidarity with those that he came to save, that he can stand as a representative, a mediator, a substitute for the people for which he came for. And so Luke focuses, born this day, is focusing on the humanity of Jesus Christ. Whereas John's gospel, for instance, focuses more theologically and on the deity of Christ. Luke's gospel focuses more on the humanity and his solidarity with humanity, emphasizing for us and reminding us of his love, that this Savior, this Christ, this Lord that was born this day, enters into the humiliation, the suffering, the rejection, ultimately the cross, that he would enter into the sufferings of this world, despised and rejected in a lowly and humiliated state. God the Son becoming a helpless baby. See, this word born encapsulates the gospel. The first word of this message, the first word of this angelic proclamation, born this day, contains the heart of the gospel, that the eternal, the eternal God, the eternal one, the maker of heaven and earth, the preserver and sustainer of all things, the God who is sovereign and majestic and holy and powerful and all-knowing and has all the divine prerogative, all divine authority, all divine control, the very one that gave you life, the very one in the eternal counsel of his will has decreed all things to come to pass. That God, that eternal one, the one that gives you very life this moment, that God becomes man. And he becomes man in order that we may, through him, as a man, draw near to God, that we can come to God, know him, love him, worship him, that we can draw near, that this Savior coming as a helpless babe means that Jesus is an approachable Savior, inviting all to come to him. This eternal one was born unto us. And so we say, what a Savior, what a gospel, that God has come to rescue his people. Born this day is a Savior, a Christ, a Lord, the King of Kings, becoming a child, becoming a babe. But who is it exactly? Yes, it's God the Son, it's Jesus coming. But yet Luke expands on who this actually is, who this second person of the Trinity actually is. And he gives us three titles, three remarkable titles to expound on who exactly Jesus is and the eternal life that he offers. So verse 11, if you look again, he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord." Savior, Christ, Lord, these three incredible titles proclaim his identity. The angel's declaration, unto you this day is born. Savior, Christ, the Lord, revealing Jesus's identity and what he came to accomplish. So first we look at Savior. Verse 11, for unto you born this day, a Savior in the city of David, born in Bethlehem. The babe born in Bethlehem is first a Savior. The fact that the Bible records for us that God sent a Savior signifies and teaches us that if God sent a Savior, that means there are people who need to be saved. That there's saving that needs to be done. And that is precisely what is happening, is that we stand as fallen, ruined, damned, and doomed sinners. We stand in need of salvation. And because we stand in need of salvation, God in his grace and love and pursuit of us sent a Savior. And why do we stand in need of salvation? Is because we have sinned against this God. We have rebelled against this God. And so now we are sinners in need of salvation, and without a Savior, we perish. Without salvation, we perish. And Jesus, this babe born in Bethlehem, is the one uniquely qualified to save. See, our sins are countless. We cannot satisfy God's justice on our own. And yet we need a Savior. And there is nothing in us in which we could save ourselves. We are eternally separated from God. But yet God did not leave us in that state. God did not leave us damned and doomed. God took the divine initiative and prerogative to send forth his Son to come and be born as a man so he could stand in the place as a representative and as a mediator for ruined sinners such as us. So we need a Savior. And the good news is that God sent a Savior. See, Jesus is the one that brings salvation, which also, by saying that he is a Savior, makes us recognize what our greatest need actually is. This verse speaks to our greatest need. See, if our greatest need was psychology, God would have sent a therapist. If our greatest need was politics, God would have sent a politician. If our greatest need was economies, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need was entertainment, God would have sent an actor. But our greatest need is that we stand separated from God. And we need our sins forgiven. We need to be brought near to God. We need to be reconciled and restored to the God that we have rebelled against. And so our greatest need is a need of rescue, a need of salvation, a need not to perish. And this is what God does. Because our greatest need is a need of salvation and eternal life, God sends a Savior. See, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is something profoundly wrong with us. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. We've fallen short of the glory of God and of His standards. There's something in us that loves our sin. And without salvation, we are lost and we are damned and we are doomed. Without a Savior, we are going to perish and rightly experience the just condemnation and wrath of a holy God for whom we have sinned against. But God sent a Savior, someone to rescue us from our perishing, someone to rescue us from His wrath, someone to pay for our sins, forgive us of our sins, reconcile us back to God. And it is the babe born in Bethlehem who would live, who would die, who would raise again. And it is through this babe shed blood on a cross that we can now draw near to God, be rescued from our sin, and know God, enjoy God, love God, and worship Him forever. See, Jesus, as He enters into humanity, dies a substitutionary, satisfactory, sufficient death. That's the wonder of His birth, is that He reconciles fallen men to God. Through Jesus, He brings us into communion with God. And so born to us this day is a Savior. And let me remind you, there is only one Savior. There's only one way. There's only one salvation. There's nothing you can do to achieve salvation. There's no other place you can go to. There's only one name under heaven in which you can be saved. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation found in no one else but Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came to this earth born of a virgin, to live the life you could not live, to die the death you should have died, and rose again from the grave. There is salvation in no one else. See, our sins are innumerable. Our sins are many, but we praise God that His mercy is more and that He has sent a Savior. Complete satisfaction and payment for our sin, but He is the only Savior. He's the only place in which you can turn. He's the only one that could satisfy the divine demands of justice. And this satisfaction is accomplished through Jesus Christ, the one born unto us this day. But not only is a Savior born unto us. You see in verse 11, He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ." So not only is Jesus, who is born, a Savior, He's also the Christ. Now, Christ means anointed one, Messiah. He's the anointed and appointed one by God. He is the one that is fulfilling all the promises and the prophecies of the Old Testament. He is the culmination of redemptive history. All the shadows and types in the Old Testament, that is pointing us to the Christ. And who is the Christ? The babe that is born in Luke 2. See, Jesus fulfills, as He is born, He fulfills the prophecy to be the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And it is in the Christ that He holds three offices. And the Christ would be predicted to hold the offices of prophet, priest, and king. And that is who Jesus is as the Christ. He is the prophet who teaches us. I mean, you think about the Old Testament and the prophets of old. What did they do? They pronounced judgment on the people. They were the mouthpiece of God. They spoke against sin. They called people to repentance. They announced pardon for a nation. See, Jesus is the great prophet, the prophet that was prophesied long ago, who teaches us, who is not only teaching us the word of God, he is the word of God. Jesus doesn't just, he pronounces over his people an end to all of our sin. He proclaims pardon and forgiveness over us. He pronounces eternal life to us. He still calls people to repent of their sin and to trust in him alone. And if they do trust in him alone, he, as this great prophet, announces pardon over their life. See, he is the prophet, because he is the Christ. But not only is he the prophet, he is the priest. See, the priests in the Old Testament, they would offer sacrifices, and they would make the sacrifices of bulls and goats and sheep to try to have atonement through the blood of the animal. But those would never finally and fully wash away their sin. They were always pointing to this Christ who would be the fulfillment of the sacrificial system. And also the priest would not only make sacrifices and make sacrificial offerings, he would also intercede for the people. He would stand before God as a mediator. He would stand before a holy God for the people. Well, see, Jesus as the Christ is also our priest. He enters into the holy place. He offers a sacrifice to God that is pleasing. The difference is with Jesus' sacrifice, he offered himself. He didn't just offer a sacrifice. He offered himself as the Lamb of God, and it was sufficient. He is the great high priest who offered himself, and just like he did, he sat down because his work is finished. His work is sufficient, and so his work is done. He is the once and for all sacrifice that draws us near to God, and the way we draw near to him is through his blood atonement at the cross, his final sufficient sacrifice. He not only offered a sacrifice, but he offered himself as that sacrifice once and for all. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that draws us near to God. He is the mediator. He is the one that stands between the sinful people and a holy God. And he goes and enters the holy places for us. He stands in our stead. He intercedes for us. He is this great high priest. And it is through his precious blood we are drawn near. So as the fulfillment, as the Christ, he's not only prophet, he's not only priest, but he's also king as the Christ. And a king is the one who leads, who rules, who guides, who protects and provides for his kingdom. He brings in kingdom citizens. The King, Jesus, he rules in our life, guides our life, directs our life in such a way that where sin no longer reigns. He brings us into his kingdom. He brings us into his peace, his prosperity, his welfare. He protects his people. He provides for his people. He is the King of Kings, sitting on the throne of thrones, reigning and ruling the hearts of his people. He is the King who rules with perfect justice and perfect equity. He's the anointed Savior. He is the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, prophet, priest, and king, who is uniquely and fully qualified to meet every need and care of those in his kingdom and for the people he has come to save. See, Jesus, unto us this day was born, a Savior, a Christ, but also born to us, verse 11 says, was the Lord. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The baby born this day is the Lord. Lord being used in the highest possible sense. Lord simply meaning the one who is absolutely sovereign. It's a title of majesty, a title of power, a title of authority. Lord means someone that has power, authority, and control over others. Lord means master and ruler. And Jesus as Lord means he possesses all divine authority and prerogative. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He is the possessor and master and maker of all creation. He is full of majesty, power, and sovereign control. And so the one born in Bethlehem, the one in the manger, the one laid in the manger in this passage is the ruler of the universe. This one that's laid in the manger in this passage is the one who tells the waves where to stop. The one in the manger in this passage is the one that knows every star by name. The one in the manger is the one that has given you life and breath. The one in the manger is the one that has decreed before all time in the eternal counsel of his will all things that would come to pass. He is the Lord, the sovereign one, who has power and control over all things and all people. He has supreme authority, the creator and master of the galaxies. See, Jesus is Lord. Notice, it doesn't ask the question, do you want to make him Lord? Or do you think he's Lord? It is an indicative declaration on who Jesus is. Born to you this day is the Lord. And Jesus is Lord, whether you believe it or not. Jesus is Lord, whether you say it or not. Jesus is Lord, whether you recognize it and acknowledge it or not. Jesus is Lord, whether you bow the knee to him or not. See, Jesus is Savior. He is the Christ. But even more, Jesus is Lord. That the one in the lowly manger, a helpless babe. The Bible says in Philippians that God exalted him to the highest place. And gave Jesus the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you this day can willingly, of your own volition, say Jesus is Lord. And rightly recognize Jesus as Lord. Or one day in the future, God, who is the Lord and sovereign and ruler of your life, the one that gave you very life, he will make you bow to Jesus and call him Lord. So today, confess him as Lord. Of your own volition, of your own will, choose this day to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or one day, the Bible says that all will bow, whether willingly or made to. Everyone will acknowledge that this Savior, this Christ, is the Lord. So you see, unto us born this day is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Christ, prophet, priest, and king, and the Lord, the sovereign of the universe. That is the one who has come to save his people from their sin. And now we must ask the question, who is this angel in the passage? To whom are they speaking? Well, the angel here, when he says, unto this day, unto you is born this day, the angel is actually talking to the shepherds who are out at night. And so now, the angel talking to the shepherd, we must ask another question. Who are these shepherds? See, the announcement, unto you, is a personal declaration and a personal announcement to the shepherds. And so who were shepherds in this day? They were ordinary people. Actually, they were despised people. Lowly and despised. In fact, in the court, they weren't even allowed to give their testimony. That's how much of an outcast and lowly they were thought of. So the angel has come to the shepherds in the fields, and these shepherds in this day and in this context were lowly, despised people, and yet they received a special direct message of hope and salvation from God himself. Notice who the angel did not go to. The angel did not go to Herod. He did not go to the Sanhedrin. He did not go to the nobility of Jerusalem. The angel announced that this Savior, this Christ, this Lord, he went to obscure peasants, despised, outcast, and lowly shepherds. Now the question is, why? I think Spurgeon actually captures why very well. Why would the angel come to these despised, lowly, outcast peasants to announce that his Savior, his Son, the Christ, the Lord, was born this day? Spurgeon says of it, why the angel went to the shepherds. He says, quote, Jesus was born as a lowly babe to signify to the watching shepherd that this man receiveth sinners. He is the approachable Savior who is willing to be born and is also the one willing to welcome shepherds, the despised of society, to his side. Christ came to them. God in his grace extends and is delighted to extend an invitation for his salvation to the most lowly, despised of this world. So what does that actually teach us about God? Well, while the world, and it teaches that God operates so much differently than we do, while the world would value prestige and popularity and power and wealth, God chooses what is weak and foolish in the world to display his own glory. It's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, not many of you. In verse 26, he says, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Why does God work this way? Is so that he gets all the glory for his salvation. See, the announcement, even the word unto the shepherds, is teaching us something. Like, they went, the message was to the shepherds. You know, whenever you have good news, like a birth of a baby, for instance, who do you call? You call those that are ready to receive the news. You call those that are most likely to listen. You call those that you'll call and share the news with those that are naturally closest to you. Like when we have our babies in our family, who do we first call? We call our parents. We call our friends. We call our family. You call the ones that are ready, willing, and eager to hear the news. I don't call the governor. I don't call the CEO. I call those that are most ready and willing and eager to hear the good news that I have. And like that, God shares this good news with the shepherds, those most willing and waiting and eager to hear of his salvation and consolation, those that would most want to hear it. Then you ask, well, why the shepherds? What did they do? And that's part of the good news, is they didn't do anything. They were unworthy and yet loved. Amen. They were unworthy and yet God came to them. He came to them to reveal his glorious message of salvation. There was nothing in them that made them commendable to God. There was nothing in them that made God move toward them. Why did God love the shepherds? Because he loved the shepherds. He chose the shepherds. He went to the shepherds. Even though lowly and despised, they're the ones that recognize their need. See, what did they do when they heard? Verse 16 and 17, it says they heard this good news that there's a Savior that can save them from their sin. There's the Christ. There's the Lord. They're eagerly waiting this good news. And what do they do in verses 16 and 17? They hear the good news and they run with haste to find Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. They were eager. They ran. They ran with haste because of the salvation that awaited them. And so now, the angel's message to the shepherds, though, God's message to the shepherds and the good news that Jesus brings, it's not just for them. What does verse 10 of Luke 2 say? And the angel, when he came to the shepherds, said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It's for all the world. It's for all the people. And so the message that a Savior was born this day is not just for the shepherds. It's for all the people that would hear this day that there is a salvation that God is willing and able to give. Unto you born this day is a Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. I mean, are we too not lowly and despised? How many of us were of noble birth and born with prestige and power? Are we too not desperate to hear of a Savior and good news that I can be saved from my sin, that I can know God, be forgiven, and have eternal life? Am I also not unworthy and yet loved? This is the message, not just for the shepherds, but for every longing and needy soul. God didn't come to save the self-righteous or to save those that believe they got it all figured out. He didn't come for those who pride themselves in moral superiority. Jesus came to save not those that are healthy, but for those that are sick, for those that are dead in their sin. He came for the broken, for the humble, for the repentant. He came for sinners that needed salvation. And the good news is that God welcomes sinners. God welcomes the lowly. God welcomes the despised. God did not come to save the righteous. He didn't come to those that try to have it all figured out. He didn't come to those to save those that don't think they need saving. He came to those that know they need saving. He came to people like us, broken sinners who stand in the need of salvation. In fact, it's only broken sinners that God saves. And that truth liberates us. It frees us to know that I can stop pretending to be strong. I can stop pretending like I have everything figured out. I can stop pretending like I've got everything under control. The gospel, the good news that Jesus has come, actually invites us to admit our weaknesses, to confess our sin, and to rely entirely on Jesus' righteousness and not our own. It is because not of anything in us that moved God toward us. It is because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that he reconciles us to God. Jesus came to die for sinners. And so when we hear of that good news, that you're not, like God did something about your sin. He deals with your sin. He didn't leave you damned. He didn't leave you doomed. This birth announcement says that God is doing something about our sin. And what he does is he sends a Savior who is the Christ, who is the Lord. And when we hear that good news of a salvation and of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, we should do as the shepherds did and run with haste to this Savior. Run with haste to the cross. And that is the life of the Christian, is that we constantly run with haste to our Savior. He always bears good news. He always brings glad tidings. And so when we, because Jesus stepped into our darkness, he stepped into our hopelessness, he stepped into our shame and into our guilt. There's always good news with this Savior. We always, by faith, run with haste to this Savior. And if you've never ran to him, run with him, run to him for the first time by faith. Run, yes, run to the manger, run to the cross, run to your Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. I mean, can you Can you live without this Savior? There's no salvation in no one else. Come to Him, run to Him, as the shepherds did. Rejoice. This is why we rejoice and we say joy to the world. We receive our King. There is good news for us that God has sent His Son and paid for my sin, and I have eternal life because God is gracious to me. And so I will run. Not only once, but I will run over and over and over with haste to my Savior who loved me and gave Himself up for me. See, the birth of the Savior, the birth of Jesus, is actually a call to sinners. A call to run with haste to Him. To run with haste for every care and every need. To run with haste to Him for salvation. You run with haste to the Savior, for He will deliver. You run with haste to the Christ, for He will teach, He will intercede, He will protect you. You run with haste to the Lord, for He will rule over you and reign over you forever. Jesus delights to rescue the lowly and despised. He delights to welcome. He delights to welcome sinners. The shepherds didn't delay. They ran with haste. Even the word unto you this day, speaks of the immediacy. Today, today run to Jesus. This moment run to Jesus. Behold, today is the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today, born to you, today is a Savior. So run to Him today. Do not delay a decision. Run today with haste, my faith. I mean, what will you do with the one? What will you do with this Savior? He says, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. Don't worry if you run to Him and be turned away. He will not turn you away. He says, I will not cast you out. Run with haste to Him and embrace Him by faith. See, the shepherds were poor and unworthy. Yet they came to see their Savior. There was nothing in them that deserved it. But God chose to reveal Himself to them. And there's nothing in your life that will prevent God from extending you grace. No sin too great, no person too far gone. God's grace is free and sovereign. God is in the business of saving sinners. And if you're a sinner, you're the exact type of person He's come to save. So believe. The Bible says believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. What does it mean to believe? It means you run by faith to Him. You bring all your sins and you confess your need of Him. Looking to Him to change you. Looking to Him for salvation. Looking to Him for eternal life. Recognize your need for Him. Confess your sin, and He will not cast you out. The good news is that Jesus is willing to be the God of sinners. And He will be your God. And He will not cast you out if you but run to Him by faith. So are you a sinner? Then I've got great news for you. You're qualified to be saved by the only one who can. And that's Jesus Christ, born this day. A Savior, a Christ, a Lord. He has the answer to your deepest need. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And He is the answer. So you run to Him. I mean, can you really even stay away after hearing this? In light of all that the shepherds heard, and they couldn't even stay away. How can you stay away when you've heard of this marvelous good news? If this ain't good news, there is no good news. You can be reconciled to God by simple faith. He's done it all. He's paid it all. He's accomplished it all. How can you ignore a Savior that's been born for you, lived for you, died for you, and raised again for you? Run to Him with haste and do not stay away, and He will embrace you. Run today by faith with haste to the one who was born this day, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lord, the Christ. Run to Him with haste, by faith, today, and He will save you. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.